Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Tom Izzo dropping by at 7:30, and we're not joking.
He's actually, I think, I think he's actually coming on the show. We'll see.
Stay tuned at 7:30. We'll find out. Obviously, most famously known as Michigan State basketball coach, but secondarily, Robbie and Rex Road, college basketball analyst.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and he's very good in the pre-show meetings.
Yes.
He gets really fired up, yes, but he sometimes does. Yells at us.
Yes, he does. So we are discussing the situation that came about yesterday with Ray Horton and Steve Wilks joining Brian Flores' lawsuit against the NFL and alleging racism in the hiring process when it comes to NFL and their coaching hire process. And you put together something interesting, and we'll get to Mike Mularkey's comments here in just a second. You put together something interesting in your piece at The Athletic about the Titans being on a list that have not hired a person of color as head coach or general manager, which includes, I believe, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Jags, the Rams, and the Saints, and that's it at this point. I believe those were the teams.
Yeah, so that gets into some of the discussions I had, which, again, you get into this topic and it can get so exaggerated so quick and go beyond what's actually relevant. This is not – I'm certainly not saying the Titans are a racist organization. I mean, I heard Jared and Caroline talking about this yesterday when they had TD on. That list doesn't mean, oh, the Titans are racist. That's not the point. It's amazing to me that we're here in 2022. And let me go to a USA Today study because I think obviously things have changed for the better to some extent from what they used to be. Go look at pictures of, like coaching staffs in like the late 70s. Yeah. It's white dudes. It is nothing but white dudes in a league that, again, has a very large black population. And right now it's about 70% black. But even since 1990, this is USA Today study from last year, 327 full-time coaches and general managers hired, 40 of color. Okay? That's 8%. So, and the thing is, the Rooney Rule came in 20 years ago. It hasn't made a big impact. So a lot of this discussion is that the Rooney Rule is not effective. It's not as effective as it needs to be. But look, that fact that the Titans are on that short list, I think that should be something that they look at and are concerned by and talk about, because I think you have to be intentional. And that doesn't mean you must with this hire, and that's another thing we get into, like with the Horton stuff. Oh, so he should have got the job. No. I don't think he should have. I don't think he was necessarily a very good defensive coordinator.
No, he was not.
A very good candidate for head coach. I could make the case that Terrell Austin, based on what he had done as a defensive coordinator, would have been worth a shot as head coach. Horton, no. It's individual situations, and you can never say right here with this hire, this coach hire, this GM hire, you must hire a black man or a woman, which also, by the way, qualifies under the Rooney Rule. You can't ever do that. It'll never get to that. I still think that the Rooney Rule does have value because it forces people to talk to people they wouldn't talk to otherwise. And then at some point down the road can maybe help that person with the next job or the next one after that. You can't get rid of it, but obviously it's been ineffective. And obviously what the Titans did here, and everybody – and let me amend the last statement when I say everyone in that organization knows. Everyone who was around then knows.
Sure.
Okay? And if you're relatively new to the Titans organization and someone in there is telling you that this wasn't preordained, they're lying to you. But they wouldn't tell you that because everybody knows. It's a joke. But it's also the real argument that they would probably make if you were at the bar with somebody. Is like, well, everybody does this. Come on, who cares? Everyone does this. And that's, I think, true.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely true. It's problematic. But I think this is the malarkey being told, again, if he's telling the truth, in the process, so basically now making him part of skirting it, I think that's pretty unique.
Well, and we've talked about the comments from Mike Mularkey from the Steelers Realm podcast in September of 2020. Here was that clip and those comments from former Titans head coach Mike Mularkey back in September of 2020.
Well, Mike, if you could turn back the clock, where would I probably hate these questions, but would there be anything during your coaching career that you might have done differently or changed?
That's a good question. I'll tell you guys this. I've always prided myself in doing the right thing in this business, and I can't say that's true about everybody in this business. It's a very cutthroat business, and a lot of guys will tell you that. But I allowed myself at one point when I was in Tennessee to get caught up in something I regret, and I still regret it. But the ownership there, Amy Adams Strunk and her family, came in and told me I was going to be the head coach in 2016 before they went through the Rooney Rule. And so I sat there knowing I was the head coach in 16 as they went through this fake hiring process, knowing a lot of the coaches that they were interviewing, knowing how much they prepared to go through those interviews, knowing that everything they could do, and they had no chance of getting that job. And actually, the GM, John Robinson, he was in on the interview with me. He had no idea why he's interviewing me, that I have the job already. And I feel, you know, I regret that's because I pride myself in my kids first, that they do the right thing. And I always said that to the players, and here I am, the head guy, not doing it. And I've regretted that since then. It was the wrong thing to do. I'm sorry I did that, but it was not the way to go about it. I should have interviewed like everybody else and got hired because of the interview, not early on. So that's probably my biggest regret.
Oh, that's a touching story, and appreciate you sharing that with us.
It's not hard to do the right thing. It's really not. You can get caught up in this business.
So that was Mike Mularkey on the Steelers Realm podcast from September of 2020. So, I mean, to your point, does this happen with almost every team around the league? Probably. Has a coach ever like come out and blatantly said that he'd been told that before that? I don't remember that being the case.
I mean, if it's happened. Yeah, I mean, obviously this is a unique situation anyway because it's an interim coach.
Correct.
That happens sometimes. But look, like when Vrabel was hired, what was it, 5 days? I think they knew they were getting Vrabel. I mean, this happens. No, we know this happens all the time, okay? And that teams go through the interviews, and yeah, they are sham interviews. They are absolutely sham interviews. This happens. But yeah, this is a unique situation in him being told that. And as far as Mularkey, and we've got some on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, you know, Santa in Portland, talk about sour grapes. He was so tore up about the sham interview, accepted a contract, took the money. As my dad used to say, he's full of malarkey. Good pun.
Nice.
But look, he just called himself out here. Well, he didn't just call himself out. He called himself out almost 2 years ago.
Yes.
He called himself out on this. You can say a lot of things about Mike Mularkey. I mean, look, personally, just full disclosure, Mike Mularkey did not like me at all when he left here, okay? We had our run-ins. He wasn't a perfect coach, but he's a pretty good coach. He did pretty well here. One thing I would never accuse that guy of is being anything but honest. Again, we make the jokes all the time about the injury stuff. It's like, yeah, now let me tell you what the x-ray said on this guy. Like Mularkey, I think to a fault at times, was very honest, maybe to a fault, very loyal. He called himself out here on this situation. And now the Titans put out a statement that says, you're a liar on this. It's, you know, so you can believe what you want to believe. But he was pretty detailed in his description there of how it went down. And again, take that away. Everyone here knew this. Everyone here knew that Mularkey, I mean, I believe it was reported that GMs were told it was a non-starter if they couldn't work with Mularkey.
That's why his comments on the Robinson part of it were pretty interesting. Because, I mean, that's the time Robinson was coming in to the organization, too, Yeah, Robinson was in there, and he's like, well, I don't really know why I'm interviewing you, because that kind of tells me that Robinson was told, yeah, Mularkey's going to be the coach, man. Here it is.
Yes, and, you know, it wasn't long before Robinson got his own guy in there, and actually it was, like, after way more success than anybody could have guessed from Mularkey. And so is there bitterness, sour grapes? You know, I agree. I mean, he has reason to be bitter.
Oh, yeah.
He has bitterness. I agree. Do you think that that means that he's just fabricating this? I mean, really? Do you think that? Meanwhile, the Horton stuff, you know, like Paul Kaharsky put out some old stories that came out from this back in 2016. Started with Jason Wolf, at the Tennessean, talking to someone from the Fritz Pollard Alliance, saying that Horton was very upset at the time, the day after Mularkey was hired, because it was a sham interview. Now, Horton actually then told Kaharski at ESPN, "I'm not insulting. I was very happy Amy gave me an interview. I think she was impressed with me." I'm quoting this from Paul's story. "I was told some ideas I gave are going to be implemented. I'm still under contract. I'm talking about a contract extension. The insulted comment, not true. I'm very happy. I was very happy to be interviewed," end quote. So, again, a guy who's under contract, who is not going to burn a bridge.
Right.
I mean, to me, that all that stuff was what of course you're going to say in that situation. You're not going to say, this was a total garbage. Thanks a lot, Amy. Now, later, now, of course, he's been in. And so now, as Paul brought up, and Paul's right that this is going to be used in the Titans and the NFL's defense because he said these comments. But also, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what went on there, isn't it?
I would think so, but I mean, the Titans and the NFL are definitely going to use that. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I don't know if this statement the Titans put out. I would assume if they put out that statement, I would assume there's a lot of discussion. I don't know why some of the words were capitalized in the statement that were. This is an all-time pet peeve, but that's secondary.
By the way, I'll read the statement real quick because we've not done that yet. Quote, "Our 2016 head coach search was a thoughtful and competitive process, fully in keeping with the NFL guidelines and our own organizational values. We conducted detailed in-person interviews with four talented individuals, two of whom were diverse candidates. No decision was made and no decision was communicated prior to the completion of all interviews. While we are proud of our commitment to diversity," which is capitalized, "we are dedicated to continued growth as an organization to foster diversity and inclusion in our workplace and community." That's a quote from the Titans.
Good Lord. Yeah, I would say this, though, as far as the beyond just the, really, aspect of this, I would assume there aren't receipts out there, like an email string about, "Hey, let's fake this Rooney process. We know Mike Mularkey's coming in. Hey, Steve Underwood, here's an email for you." I mean, I would assume there aren't receipts on this that can actually lead.
I mean,
because, like, you've opened yourself up to something here, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I would assume I would assume that because why would you put these things right? But, hey, we know how it can go with the NFL and emails.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time for you to know your numbers. If you answer this correctly, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the ARCA Menards NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to see the Geico 500 on Sunday, April the 24th. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got a math problem. Hit up the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Today's question features all current drivers. Daytona 500 winner Michael McDowell minus Eric Amarola plus Bubba Wallace equals this driver. Let me read that again. Daytona 500 winner Michael McDowell minus Eric Almirola, hope I'm saying that right, plus Bubba Wallace equals this driver. If you know the answer, hit up the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, do you know the answer?
I don't.
Okay. We'll see if anybody on the text line does. People have...
They will.
They have known.
Speaking of the text line, I got to say, I was bracing myself for just... I got some buddies who were ripping me. I was bracing myself for, like, some serious, angry back and forth, and it's been
good.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what... Is this groupthink? Let's argue about this. But JD in Nashville, diversity was capitalized because it's the proper name of an old wooden ship. Hashtag Anchorman. Well done, JD. Very from nice. Nashville.
Nicely done.
So that statement, we were talking during the break, and I think it's worth bringing up. I mean, I think that statement comes from the top, but also very likely to some extent, maybe a large extent, from the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is an NFL lawsuit.
Right.
So keep that in mind. But again, that's also embarrassing. And maybe that's maybe the NFL's like, yes, we randomly capitalize things in sentences. So yeah. You will capitalize these words, Titans. Thank you.
Liam on the text line says, so people are surprised that a sham system gets set up and leads to sham results. I hate to see the Titans' name get dragged through the mud, but almost every team in the league is in the same boat. Since we are increasingly living in a world of constant surveillance and recordings, maybe they should record and release every coaching interview to the public. I'd sure like to see for myself if there is any possible reason Eric Bieniemy hasn't gotten a job yet. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Yeah, well, and there's also, speaking of that, there's been reports that he, you know, interviews poorly.
Right.
Which that's one of those things where, like, anonymous sources get, like, you know, let's put your name on that one. But I'm not saying it's not true. That can happen. Someone can be a bad interviewer. Someone can be, cannot get a job because of that. But by achievement, and granted, he's had incredible talent, but just by achievement, Eric Bieniemy is someone that you would think would automatically get a job. I mean, the young offensive white coach who is, even if he's not calling plays, who's part of a really good offense and has any sort of, like, passing in the hallway relationship with Sean McVay gets a head coaching job today. And this is also, there's a lot to this. I mean, the offensive coaches are so much more valued now.
Sure.
So that's also a change they've put in terms of having people of color on the offensive staff, because defensive coaches are more, I mean, they're just less likely to get head coaching jobs anymore. And there's a lot to this. There's no easy answer to fixing it. We talked about this during the break. I mean, to me, the Rooney Rule still has value. You stick with it. You see if you can tweak it. You're never going to tell someone who they should hire. You never should. You can't tell someone you must hire this person, or you must hire with this hire a person who looks like this. You can't do that. I mean, I think some of this just gets better when some of these owners are no longer, and maybe their kids who are a little more open-minded,
yeah,
are in charge. I mean, I think it's just over time, but it's pretty disheartening that over time of 20 years of the Rooney Rule, we haven't seen the progress that you would have expected.
I got a texture that says, what did the Titans have to gain from telling Malarkey he got the job before interviews were complete? It's from a texture on the text line.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, again, I think you could maybe tie that to, with if that decision is made as you're looking for a GM, you want everyone on the same page. And Malarkey, of course, had a, you know, an unsuccessful tenure with a, you know, as we know, bad Jacksonville franchise. He actually had a really nice start in Buffalo, and then some stuff happened there that went sideways, and he resigned. And I still don't know all the, but so at that point, Malarkey was kind of, I mean, he was hot shot. I mean, Inspector Gadget? He was the OC for the Steelers and those great teams, and he was the hot guy. That's how he got the Buffalo job. But there was some, I know Titans fans were not happy that Mike Malarkey got that job. And also, we're not happy that there really wasn't an interview process, because everybody knew back then that there really wasn't an interview process, yes, and that Mike Malarkey got the job.
Yes. David on the text line says, the thing about it is he still took the job. If he was still working here today, he would have never made those comments. So it's easy to look back when it's out of your control and blame somebody else, but you took the job. This is coming from David on the text line.
I agree. But again, I agree with you. And I agree that he has sour grapes. Yeah, he said other things, and I put that in my column too. He said some other things about the whole New England thing, and
yep,
he thinks they had a hidden agenda. Certainly. But he also did, again, he called himself out here. Does it matter? He's retired. It's not going to hurt him getting another job. Yeah, but I think there's people who would not want to do that, because you are party to something. And even if everyone does it, it's still like, if you get a specific instance of you flouting something like this, see that you are now officially part of the problem.
Right.
Individually part of the problem.
Nate on the text line says, people are questioning why the Titans put out this statement. I said it's to be proactive and get out in front of this instead of waiting for others to call you out to saying something. What do y'all think?
Well, I think I figured that there would be a statement, and I reached out for a statement yesterday, right, when I saw this stuff. Also reached out to Malarkey. He did not respond. He did say to ESPN a brief statement, something like the you know, I can find it, but it's basically like the truth's out there already, yep. And that's it. I figure the Times would have a statement. I figured it would be a lot more vague than this. You know, someone, I don't remember who, I was talking with someone yesterday, and like, why didn't they just put out a statement like, we're looking into this? And I was like, well, I mean, this is something that happened in 2016. You're not looking into it. You know what happened.
Right.
And the Markey comments happened a year and a half ago, but just something more like, we believe in, and we trust in our processes, and we believe in diversity, you know, without saying, this hire was an absolute wonderful, it was so close, four candidates, we didn't know who it was, it came down to the very end.
Yeah.
In fact, we had to play paper, rock, scissors to see who's going to get the coaching job. I know that wasn't a statement, but seriously, this statement was so stupid. So a statement was going to come. This statement, to the extent it went very, when I read it, I was like, what? You really saying this right now? Because everybody in that building knows it's BS.
Yep. Pretty incredible. We'll continue to take your thoughts on this all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock as well. We'll get his thoughts on this situation as well. Congrats to Huffy on the text line, who correctly guessed Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the selection.
And people were all over that.
All over. But Huffy, he got in there first, so Huffy is qualified to win the NASCAR tickets. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Tom Izzo, Michigan State men's basketball coach. Joe Rexroad self-dubbing him as the analyst for Robbie and Rexroad as well. We'll see what his thoughts are.
I think we're going to be joined by him.
We'll see what happens. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Michigan State head basketball coach Tom Izzo. Tom, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Well, Robbie and Joe, I'm sorry I screwed up a couple times, but I got this day job. You guys don't have a job, so I'm working a little bit more. But great to be on. Great to talk to you again, Joe, too.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Tom, my first question for you is, what was it like having Rexroad follow you around and covering you all those years, and how much of a relief has it been for you now that he's gone?
I'm 10 years younger. That's why I'm still coaching since he left. I hate to say this, but I bet you Joe would agree. I've always had a pretty good relationship with the media. I mean, once in a while I get upset, but once in a while they get upset with me. But I learned from my old boss really early on my first year as a full-time guy, and I always asked him, why are you so good to the media? And he says, you got to remember, they got a job to do. You got a job to do. They got a family to feed. You got a family to feed. They got jerks for bosses, and you got a jerk for a boss. So I think all those things I remembered, and to be honest with you, I do have an appreciation for the job everybody's got to do.
Well, on that, I mean, I got to ask you real fast. Who is the most annoying person on the beat now that I'm gone? It's got to be either Solari or Couch, right? I mean, it's one of those two.
Solari, I think, wins that hands down. I think I have a computer list of pain in the butts, but Solari would probably be on the top of that list.
That's great. We'll share their Twitter accounts later for the listeners, so you can follow these guys.
Yeah. That's fine.
By the way, you're still not on Twitter, right?
Oh no, why ruin a good thing? You know what I'm finding out though, Joe, is as I do this job, and I think it was about 8 years ago, you know, the social media craze started, I think, in 10 or 11, you know. So a couple of years into it, my old assistant, Dane Fife, and my women's coach, Susie Merchant, were telling me how wrong I was not to be involved in this and that. And since then, now Susie's got kids that are 12, 14, 15, and so Dane's got them, they're 10, and both of them have had their share of problems with the social media. I think they're on my side now. So I think I withstood the test of time on that, and I will continue to be an advocate of how ridiculous it is when people can say what they want behind a computer and never to your face. So that's one thing I do appreciate about the media. Now, at least you got to put it down, and there's a face behind the buttons, where most of the Twitter stuff is, who knows? You know, if somebody's ripping you, you don't know if it's a Michigan fan or it's your own people, and sometimes that's frustrating.
Yeah, no, as a parent, I mean, social media. Yeah. Oh, it's if I could launch it all into the sun.
Now.
Oh yeah, no. Hey, I was one of the late holdouts on Twitter. I mean, like, we have to be on there, but no, it's it's brutal.
You know what I always wondered, Joe, is you know, when it first came out, it seemed like just for you guys, you know, information everywhere. Now, when you realize that 50% of that information was false,
right.
I bet you. I remember one time a guy called me. It wasn't you, but said, "Well, what happened to so and so?" I can't remember who the player was, and I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, he broke his leg at practice." I said, "What are you talking about?" You know, and somebody had put that out there, and he's chasing it down. His wife's probably mad because he spent 2 hours that night, and it was false. You know. Three-fourths of Twitter to me is false now, you know, and that's a shame.
Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Tom, I'm interested to get your thoughts just on the state of the game in general. Now that you've had some time with the transfer portal, what are your thoughts on the portal itself? Has it been good for the game? Are there drawbacks to it? Just overall, your thoughts on the portal and how it's impacted college basketball.
Well, I don't think it's great for the game, and I think there's drawbacks, but I'm one of those guys. There's a couple of us out there that have been on committees. I think it's bad for the kids, where everybody thinks, the players, I mean, where everybody thinks, wow, guy's got freedom, do what he wants, you know. Just picture yourself. How old's your son now, Joe?
Well, got one going to be a freshman at Michigan State, but Brennan, who you from your camp, is 14.
Yeah, so you got those ages. Just think, if you told him, do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do, however you want to do it, how do you think he would have turned out? You know, come home when you want to come home. You don't like me as a dad? Well, transfer next door and take that guy as a dad. You got the same thing, you know. I think kids are making a lot of bad decisions because we're teaching them that the minute something goes tough, to get the hell out of Dodge. I said Clark Kellogg on the radio or TV the other day said something great. He said, to grow, it takes rain and sunshine. And if you translate that, it means, you know, if you just have all sunshine, the plant doesn't grow. If you just have all rain, it doesn't grow. And you've got to fight through some adversity. You got to have some tough times. You got to have some rainy days. And those are illegal now. There's a rainy day, I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. And then we got kids transferring. They don't even know where they're transferring to. And the problem is when they do transfer, so somebody transfers to Michigan State, and then all of a sudden I get two more transfers. I mean, we're afraid of competition, and competition is what you do every day of your life. You know, you guys are competing with some other radio station there. You have to learn how to compete. And so I'm sure there's a positive here and there. I really am. But the unintended consequences of what we're left with, to me, are going to be, yeah, hard on the game a little bit, but nobody cares about that. I think it's going to be worse on the players. And, you know, you got guys at 2-3 different schools, 4 different schools. Where does he hang his hat at the end? I mean, you're still calling me because you have a connection to Michigan State. Where do those kids hang their hat? Where do they get help with jobs? What do they do? I mean, 90% of the transfers are not pros. So, that's the reason I struggle with it. I struggle with it because I think it's going to affect the players and the kids, and I think most people think it's giving them freedom. And my dad didn't give me a lot of freedom. I know that, and I turned out okay. So we'll see what happens. I guess it is what it is, like Twitter. You know, maybe it'll be good. I don't think so for the players.
Well, on another, obviously so much has changed, Tom. I mean, since I was on the beat covering you, and I've thought about you with, you know, every one of them, but certainly we had a lot of discussions going way back on, you know, name, image, likeness, or at least some sort of compensation, the financial components, the way the money's exploded. Now we have this. Where are you on that? How important is it? And how it seems like Michigan State, as I, well, actually, really from Twitter. There is information out there, but you know, like Darian Harris, for example, you know, with the football program, it seems like Michigan State's been pretty proactive in taking advantage of it. But this is a massive change. How have you adjusted to that? Where do you think that's going?
Well, I don't know what take advantage is, but you know, we have the same problems. We have unintended consequences. I was all for players getting some compensation. I wish we could get it where they get so much money and everybody gets that. Because to me, it isn't pro ball. Now, if we want to make it pro ball, then let's make it pro ball. But I got buddies in the NBA. I got, of course, my best friend, Mariucci, and he says, you guys are trying to make it like pro ball. I said, no, we're not. In pro ball, if you sign, it's a 4 or 5 year contract. We have a semester. We have free agency every day of the week. In pro ball, there's a salary cap. You know, rookies can get this, and that. We have nothing. So there, again, we're back to no rules, and there's no boundaries, and there's no guardrails. And I think what started out, again, a good idea to help, I think now it's going to turn into something tougher. I'm all for guys getting more. I think that's what the NBA's for, and that's what the NFL's for, and that's what Major League Baseball's for. I hope we don't diminish what a college education is and how important that is. But you know what? I adjust to it whatever way I can. Again, I'll go back to this. When I was 39 years old, I started making what I would consider some real money. When I was 29 years old, I didn't make any money. You know, I was a GA here. And it was an adjustment. But I was 39 when I started that. If kids are doing that at 18, how is that going to affect them? What is that going to do? Who can handle it? I worry about the evils of, you know, things like, you know, wherever there's money, look in the schools, you know, and here it's not the poor schools that have drug problems. It's the rich schools that have drug problems. What about the new gambling thing? Are we going to have gamblers all over? Because where there's money, there's what I would call dirt bags, you know? So those are the things I worry about, but it is what it is. We're adjusting, but I don't know if anybody's ahead of it, because I don't know if anybody really knows what's going on, and we're all trying to figure that out. But getting help for the players, 100% for it. But without boundaries, question where that's going to head.
So, Tom, I'm not going to ask you how much longer you're going to coach. I know you get asked this, like, what, probably once a month or so now, but you know,
well, hell, I'm 8-9 years behind Krzyzewski. I'm 10 years behind Boeheim, so I got a lot of time yet.
That's right.
Go ahead.
So yeah, I just want to know how do you feel about things? You know, how you feeling moving forward here?
You know what?
You just passed Bobby Knight. You're the winningest coach in the Big Ten, which is a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a big deal. It means that I stayed here long, but I will say this, Joe. I love my job. I am question marky. I'm putting question marks on our profession and where it's going. I think a lot of people are. I think you are. You know, I don't know where the profession's going. And I think there's a lot of concerns. The day to day. I mean, I'm probably in. Well, I did one thing during COVID. You know, I bought a Peloton. I'm in even better shape, so I feel very healthy and good. I still got the energy, but there are question marks on like this time of year. Like I'm leaving today, recruiting never ends because of the transfer portal and everything. You know, it there's never an off season now, and that's okay. I mean, I'm a grinder. I'm cool with that, but I don't know. You know, I feel good enough that I don't plan on doing anything in the next couple of years in a negative way, but we'll see how all this goes and what happens. I think you'd be crazy to think some of these coaches that have gotten out, like Lon and Roy, and I saw Tim Jankovic, and are getting out because of the issues, but maybe it'll be a 30s and 40s job pretty soon. Who knows?
Tom Izzo, Michigan State basketball coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Tom, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Well, you guys have a good time. I guess Nashville's one of those hopping cities. My buddy Mariucci's son just moved there, loves it. So you guys take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sounds Tom. Good. Tom Izzo, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. We'll do that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
You might want to sing it note for note, don't worry.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Take your thoughts, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, I turn things over to you. Don't worry. Just be happy with this rant.
So now let me tell you what I really think about Tom Izzo. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks to Tom Izzo last segment. That was fun.
Robbie and Rexrode contributor.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be daily next year.
We will have him involved more often, hourly breakdowns of college hoops next year, even though he said that we don't have a real job.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he's right, but let's be honest. All right, so let's go back to – so I was bracing myself, and actually today has not been as contentious a day as I thought it was going to be. After yesterday with the Titans and the column I wrote and all the discussion and the whole thing with the Rooney Rule and – the Mike Mularkey preordained coaching hire. But there is someone in the comments who got me triggered yesterday, because this is something that I'm seeing somewhat regularly in the dumb discussions of things that should never make it. So I think we should just eliminate this one. Let's eliminate this one. I'm unprepared. I will actually go to the column to read word for word, because I've seen this in a number of forms, and it seems to be sort of like a popular dumbass take on this.
Okay.
So if we could eliminate this, I mean, these discussions still go all over the place and don't focus on what really matters. But this is the comment, from Marley F. I'm a common athletic. Quote, I do think the most talented and competent person should get the job regardless of race, gender, sexuality, etc. That being said, I don't see people stamping for more diversity on the field. There's not an outcry for white corners or Hispanic QBs, end quote. Now, I've seen this a lot. So, are we serious with this? Because I see it a lot, and I just can't understand how your mind would go there. On the field, it's very simple. It's not really subjective. I mean, there's subjectivity in all this, but on the field, it's you do this, you play. It is a meritocracy, right? I mean, you're better than this person, you get the job. You run better, you throw better, whatever, you get the job. Now, the one exception being, of course, black quarterbacks. In my lifetime, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, it's amazing to me that in my lifetime, a guy named Warren Moon was a quarterback at Washington, won a Rose Bowl, was an incredible player. Warren Moon is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. I mean, we can all agree on that. I don't know where he is on the list, but he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Also, I've interviewed Warren Moon a few times. I'm you know how sometimes, like, you talk to people, like I always said this about Kirk Cousins, it's like you almost feel bad about yourself when it's like, God, I'm a bad person, aren't I, because I'm next to you. Warren Moon's maybe one of the smartest people I've ever talked to.
So I feel talking to you every day.
Yeah, totally. Warren Moon is probably one of the smartest people who's ever played in the NFL. That dude had to go to the CFL from 78 to 83 because of the hue of his skin. There's no, like, it's that's it. So, that tells you, one, again, it's nauseating that this is in like my, and it's not in your lifetimes, but it's in my lifetime that this existed. It does mean things have gotten better, but on the field, apart from that, it is a meritocracy. And then ownership, if you have enough money, you can own a team. But coaching and general managing, these are very subjective. Yeah, sometimes you can hire a coach who has a great track record and say, this coach wins, hire this coach. But in a lot of cases, it's a first chance for someone, and you're just hoping that they can coordinate all these people and do all these things that are intangible,
yeah,
whereas the field is tangible. So please, I just, if we could eliminate this crap from the discussion, it would make it just a little bit better.
I agree. Very well said. And I think also, like, you know, with coaching, a lot of it's so much about who you know. Like, we talked about the malarkey part of this, right? And he was, and I get it. I think it's pretty fair to say there are some sour grapes from malarkey to the Titans. I think it's pretty clear. But he did, in that interview that we played earlier, and he talked about the New England part of this too, and he kind of feels like the Titans had a hidden agenda, and the New England part of it with John Robinson coming in, and obviously there's a Vrabel connection there. Like, some of it is also, like, you hire people, and then they hire people that they have been around and worked around the entire time. Like, that's how a lot of businesses work. That's certainly how the NFL works.
Well, and nepotism,
yeah,
you know, for sure. And I mean, there's a lot of nepotism in the NFL, which is part of this problem. Yeah, cronyism, if you want to call it that. I agree, but it's – and this is why – I mean, this is why overall diversity matters too. Because if you have people who are close to you, who are in your group, who are diverse, then like, there's a better chance that, hey, yeah, this is my guy, bringing in my guy, and your guy isn't necessarily a white guy. And that is, by the way, if you want to talk about the Rooney Rule, which is flawed, which is not perfect, which is never going to be perfect, which is never going to be as effective as anybody wanted it to be, I believe from 02 to 21, the overall coaching diversity in the NFL improved from 6% to 22%.
Yep.
Is that because of the Rooney Rule? I don't know. It's probably as much just because of, I mean, my God, it's the 21st century. Are you guys serious-ness? But maybe the Rooney Rule had some impact on that. But that's it's and this is why, again, the Rooney Rule to me, you at least get people talking to people. You force conversations. Doesn't it, again, you can't force hires. You never should. Never. But you do force conversations. And I think a lot of these conversations would not have happened over 20 years if not for it. And there's got to be some value in that.
I hear that, and I agree with that. I also then think back to the Eric Bieniemy situation and think to myself, all right, he's been in head coaching interviews for like 5 years, and
yeah,
that offense has been what it's been and nothing.
Yeah, well, I agree. But I think you have to also like account for the possibility that someone is a bad interviewer.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's what it is with him. And
I hope at this point he's getting better, though. A lot of practice.
Well, but that's also another part of this,
yeah,
that people have talked about is, okay, well, honestly, like my first interview, I sucked. I mean, we probably all relate to that, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
So then you actually get more swings at it, and you should get better. I mean, I you're right. It's somewhat stunning that Eric Bieniemy hasn't had a head coaching job. But, again, it's just – I think that all of this, talking about it, writing about it, everything, I think it's worthwhile. I know that Titans fans, look, what matters is if your team wins. What matters with Amy Adams Strunk is she hiring people who win? Is she winning? Is she going to build a stadium here that doesn't hit your pocketbook? I mean, all these things are more important, and I get that. I do. But I think this stuff matters too, and I think there is value in shining light on these things. I think that's the only way. You're not going to collectively make the NFL owners do anything they don't want to do, but I do think there are individuals. They are still individuals. There are still owners. I mean, come on, Daniel Snyder's on his own plane of scumbagness, yeah, right? You know, Stephen Ross may be in a special category too. Like, they're not all
kicked out by Tom Brady soon, by the way.
That's right. I mean, it's not all one conglomerate, and so I think that you still have hearts and minds that you can reach within that group, I believe.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on this and all things Titans
as well. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most insta-worthy moment. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.